God calls us to see with new eyes. God calls us to see the greater reality. When we see and understand even a little, then we can act and change, engage with our own lives and those of others in ways that move us forward, that move us deeper into relationship with God, or realize how close we are to God here and now, because God is always there for us, always close by. I've been proposing since Ash Wednesday, and have thought this for a long time, but have gotten a little more vocal about it this year, that we need to look at Lent and the themes of Lent in a new way. We need to move from a sin focus to a healing focus, which does not deny or ignore what we do wrong, but helps us to consider what drives us. What drives us in a more mature, more nuanced, and deeper sort of way? What does drive us? Is it fear or is it hope? Is it the negative or the positive? Is it the demonic or the divine? St. Ignatius of Loyola is known to have said that if you're acting out of fear, you have the devil as your spiritual director. He was always quite clear. So the question for St. Ignatius, and really I think for all of us, is where's the freedom? Where are you feeling the freedom? What is drawing you toward freedom and creating it in your life? A few years ago, and I've mentioned this to some of you before, there's a song by the band Bastille entitled Pompeii. You can go and listen to that song. I really like it. There's something about it, and it's got a real theological point. It's about the Roman city destroyed by ash from the erupting Mount Vesuvius in the year 79 AD. In the song, we hear the question, following this horrible disaster, where do we begin? In the rubble or our sins? How do we explain this? If you know the history of Rome or have watched any of the TV show Spartacus, right? Who out there has seen one of the Spartacus? Okay, it's very graphic in many ways. You'll know that Christianity could not come soon enough and get into the culture to calm down the wild behavior of the Roman ruling class and bring more regard for human life generally, which was not there as they were throwing people out into the arena, right, to be ripped apart by wild beasts and enjoying it thoroughly. So, you know, if anyone ever asks you what good has Christianity done in the world, it calmed that down. That wasn't good. But the question is, where do we begin to understand the bad things that happen? Sometimes in the rubble, we're considering sin, but natural disasters just happen, right? That's not God's will. That's never what God wants. So where do we begin as people of faith to understand that and life in general? And I put forth that we begin with God. We begin by thinking about God and God's love and care for us. What drives us? We want it to be a focus on the goodness of God, always, the goodness of God. This is what drives and motivates us. When we focus on God, then we can see the problems in our own lives or in the world and have courage to act and change them, courage to address the issues. Be that, again, personal stuff or issues like racism or the lack of inclusion for so many different reasons, the horrible things done to immigrants, to the LGBTQ community, the horrible things done to our environment. We can focus on creation care. And what about poverty in so many places, often out of the way, not seen? Where do we begin? We really have to begin with God. And this is where both Isaiah and Jesus began. Jesus was turning the world upside down for people who thought they knew who was in and who was out, who was blessed and who was not. These bad things happened to the Galileans and those people killed by the tower. Jesus says, not because they were worse than other people, but because these things just happened. And the warning Jesus issues, the warning is to not judge, but to consider our own lives, and then to make the most of our lives, to make the most of the opportunity to change and to grow. So where is the focus? We're cautioned not to focus on others in the way of judging them, but on our own world and relationship with God. And then there's that fig tree, right? That fig tree comes in. It's not bearing fruit. So someone wants to cut it down. But the gardener, who is Jesus really in the parable, the gardener says, give it time to bear some fruit. And this is God's message to us, that there is time, that our God is loving and gracious and giving and is not just cutting things down, but giving time for us to turn around, to grow, to change when it's needed. David Davis, in his commentary on this passage, says that this reading from the next reading that I'm looking at, Isaiah doesn't sound like Lent at all. The Jesus passage sounded a lot like Lent, but then we have this paired with Isaiah today, which is interesting. It begins off with the word ho, and this is a cry to pay attention, sort of a happy cry. Ho! It's jarring, Davis says, to the listener's ear. It's an exclamation mark at the beginning of the sentence, highlighting the prophet's call to bask in God's abundance, to eat, drink, and be satisfied beyond measure. It's a wonderful invitation. But when we think about it, even though it doesn't seem very Lenten, the most meaningful and fulfilling Lenten journeys include an encounter with God's abundance, God's abundant mercy and grace and forgiveness, and God's abundant life for us, filling us with life. There is a call to turn in the reading, a call to turn from the lure of material comforts found in exile. The Israelites in exile in Babylon, instead of seeking the richness of God, which is like a banquet table full of food and satisfying, are tempted, and all people always are in exile. This is the thing about exile. We're always tempted to choose the easy thing that seems fulfilling because we are in need. We're in need of nourishment. We're in need of something. Davis writes, wealth and accumulation, however, create distance from the kingdom of light and eat away at notions of justice and righteousness. Exile, then, is a metaphor for people of God who do not live the life of faith precisely because they've accepted belonging to a materialistic world. And that's so easy for us to do. It is so easy. As Christians, we are all in exile. We are also citizens of God's reign, but we only get glimpses of that right now. We don't experience it in its totality. So there are many temptations to choose the material, which sometimes is fine, but if it's our sole focus, that's not good. As people in exile, Isaiah urges us to focus on God. And here's again that twist, that turn to look at Lent a little differently. Rather than contemplating the individual's journey, that's your journey, my journey, the individual's journey in the wilderness of sin and distance from God, the opportunity in Lent exists for all eyes to focus first on God's grace. The prayers that we're using for our Wednesday 12:15 service, which is a contemplative service for Lent, help me to focus on God and who I am for God. These prayers are taken from Prayers for All Seasons, a publication of the Episcopal Church, and I'll be saying them in first person, but I invite you to maybe close your eyes and listen as though you were praying this with me. Pray it with me. Christ in my mind, that I may see what is true. Christ in my mouth, that I may speak with power. Christ in my heart, that I may learn to be loved. Christ in my hands, that I may work with tenderness. Christ in my soul, that I may know my desire. Christ in my arms, that I may reach without fear. Christ in my face, that I may shine with God. Amen.